Well, good day, everybody. Pastor Tim Karskin here, Christian Sinners Report, daily podcast. We're in our Isaiah 62 time of fasting and prayer. So we're laying out foundations, the proper way to fast this week. Yesterday we talked about bad motives. Today we're going to talk about God's motives, or good motives, why we should be fasting, and what it does for us. All right, let's listen in. Well, good day. We're pressing in. We're pressing into what the heart of the Father is through this time of fasting and prayer. Thanks for joining us again. It is Wednesday. It is the 10th day of May 2023. Big day in the Lord. We love 10. 10's an establishing number. Remember when Abraham said, Lord, if there's 10 righteous, and the Lord said, I would save. So we love to believe that we can have at least 10 in the remnant praying. We can save a nation. Amen. Well, I hope you got some good downloads yesterday. We were talking about fasting. I think it's a subject that's not taught about hardly at all in the body of Christ as a whole, because nobody, it's distasteful. It's no fun to cause your flesh not to enjoy itself. We're all guilty of that, aren't we? And so it's a difficult thing to even go after. Sometimes in a fast, you don't hear anything during a fast. It's not until after the fast. And Isaiah 58 talks about that. It says, after you fast, then, you know, these things will happen. So it's not unusual. Sometimes it will happen during it, but many times it does not. The Lord says in Job, we were reading in our Bible study yesterday, about he helps the afflicted in their affliction. So he helps you in that time. In the oppressed, it says, when you're oppressed, you open your ears. Your ears are opened in your oppression. So what happens when you oppress your flesh and when you submit your flesh to the Spirit, it's like you're afflicting your body. Well, guess what? The Lord says, I meet you there. I have that place for you. That's a good motive for doing it, isn't it? That we can hear God and we can have him, you know, as we were talking about yesterday, the bad motives, you know, I think the number one or one of the worst motives of doing it is that you're seeking to see others change, but not yourself. That's what it talks about in Isaiah 58. It says, behold, you fast for contention and strife to strike with a wicked fist. So you're asking God, get even with these people, Lord. You know, I think they're not doing the wrong. Change their hearts. So when you fast, your motive has to be, God, change me. That's a good motive. Lord, I can't change anybody else. I can't change my wife, my husband, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, my nation. You can, but Lord, so change me so that I see it the way you see it. That's got to be one of your greatest motives to do that. So Isaiah 58, 5 through 7 says, it is a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself. Is it for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day of the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. So he lays it out here. So the number one godly, I should say, or good motive, either way, you can use it, is to humble yourselves, to humble ourselves. Fasting humbles ourselves in the sight of God. That's what verse 5 says. It is a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself. Prayer and fasting. Get this. Prayer and fasting are the primary means for humbling ourselves before God. It is by this means that we bring our mind, our will, and our emotions, our personality, The soul. We're talking about the soul in subjection to God. Ezra 8:21. He says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ah, that we might humble ourselves before the Lord our God, and to seek for him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and our possessions." Look, covers it. Ezra covers everything there. They needed that. So you humble yourselves when we're praying for Israel. We're humbling ourselves so that we can see Israel the way he sees it, so that we can pray it properly. So the company of Israeli slaves at that time, they had been in Babylon and were returning to Jerusalem after the king had released him. So they were traveling with great wealth through bandit territories, the enemy territory. So if the God of Israel were a true God, how could they ask the king to protect them? Is their God not powerful enough to guide them a safe way? Thus, that's why they humbled themselves before God in fasting and prayer to direct the path. Psalms 51:17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, that you will not despise." Isaiah 66:1-2, "Where then is a house that you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? But to the one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word." It's very clear, guys. Scripture tells us that God bends his heart toward the humble. We humble ourselves in the sight of God. He will lift us up, right? As we do this, what happens is we're brought into a deeper level of yieldedness and repentance before God. Our first love is restored, and a renewed spiritual life occurs. That's what happens inside of us. He tells us in Joel 2 to return to me with your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and mourning. He tells us to do that. So we have commissions to do that. Israel in Nehemiah 9 assembled with fasting. They stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of their fathers. And while they stood there, you know, the Lord began to come and they worshiped and they confessed. So you can measure the depth of your humility you have by how much you pray. Because see, when I'm humble and I'm praying more, I recognize I can't do anything outside of him. So it's a measurement of your humility. When we're not walking, or if we're prayerless and we're walking independently of God because we don't really need him, that's pride. Fasting destroys these strongholds as the weakness in our life, and the death we enter into in fasting makes us cry out to him, "Lord, help me." Last night I was hungry. Boy, I was really hungry, and I'd been fasting, and I'm like, man, I can't believe I'm thinking about breaking my fast on the first day. And I just said, "Lord, help me." Just humble myself. Help me make it through the night. I was starting to get a headache because I told you yesterday, sometimes I get those. And I didn't want that. I didn't want that to be a part of my walk. I know the Lord called me to this fast. All right, another good motive he talks about there is to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to free our soul from fleshly desires and selfishness. That's what he says. The Lord says, that's the fast I ask. So to loosen the bonds of wickedness. So fasting, this is according to Bill Bright, fasting reduces the power of self so that the Holy Spirit can do a more intense work within us. Now that's a gift from the Lord. And so what we do is we let him have that part of our life. When we cry out to God with brokenness and humility, acknowledging and repenting of our sins, asking for forgiveness and cleansing, asking for pure hearts, strongholds that may have ruled over us for a lifetime can become dismantled and destroyed instantly. That's what can happen in a fast. And you know, I know we're praying for Israel, but I want you to understand, I want us to have the right motives. And our humility is going to be a key that we pray accordingly and properly for Israel. We're not going to pray, "God, destroy everybody, da 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 da," whatever. We're not going to pray things that we would think in our own mind. We want to pray according to his heart. So when we cry out, they can be dismantled. You know, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. James tells us that in James 4. cleanse your hands, right? Get rid of all this stuff with mourning, with fasting. You come before the Lord. It is in fasting and prayer that we find out what is really inside of us. I'll tell you, when people get irritated during a fast, you're finding out what's inside of you. Well, the only reason I'm irritated is because I'm hungry. No. And we use that term in America. I don't know what y'all call it. We call it hangry. I'm hungry and angry at the same time. Well, the hunger is producing or manifesting the anger that's inside of you. Okay, I just paused on that one because that hit a few people right there, hit me. So as we begin to separate ourselves from food and from the pleasures, whatever we're fasting from, that occupies so much of our time and give ourselves to seeking God, then the things that we have been holding on to and precious in our lives begin to be revealed. Ooh, that hunger for this or the hunger for that, whatever it is. This gentleman spoke, this guy named Arthur Wallace. He said this, there are those who are seemingly oblivious to their bondage of to food and to the fact that there is a leakage of spiritual power. They mistake the lust that enslaves them for a natural and healthy appetite. Others are aware but show no alarm that they are slaves of the stomach. The truth that Christian discipleship involves self-discipline in the realm has evidently not penetrated their conscience. Their desire and capacity for food is a big joke. I can resist anything but temptation, they say. That's a great way of putting it, isn't it? I'm okay unless I'm tempted. And we have to be honest with ourselves. Let this fast that we're in right now reveal what's in your heart. Try saying no to food, to television, to sports, whatever. I have to do that. To the need to have things your way, and you will see the measure of control that these things have upon your life. As they begin to talk to you, I said it yesterday, they have a voice. You will see who is really making the decisions in your life. The degree of difficulty you have in laying these things down reveals the depth of bondage that they have had on you. Oh my, that hurts, doesn't it? So when we want good motives, we have to understand that humility is the best motive to break these bonds. What is it that you can't let go of? You know what I'm saying? How much does it control you? Reese Howell said this, one of my favorites, right? My agitation with trying to fast and deny my body the pleasures of food was the proof of the grip it had on me. If the thing had no power over me, why did I argue about it? I shouldn't be laughing on a podcast, but that is funny. Because we do. We argue about it. Romans 6:16 says, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Mm-mm. For by what a man is overcome, by this is he enslaved. 2 Peter 2:19. I know some of you are saying, quit giving the scriptures. Move on. I'm just trying to ground what I'm saying here. Okay, one more thing here before we get out of here. Another good motive, to let go of the heavy burdens and fasting that breaks the yoke of heaviness from off your shoulders. That's what he says, to undo the bands of the yoke. That phrase literally means to untie the thongs of the yoke. What cares of this world have weighed you down to the point where you have lost your joy and your gladness. Fasting and prayer can break that. Okay, we want to see that off of you, that you lost your joy. You want to get it back. Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So this is speaking of the yoke of slavery that the enemies of Israel were placed upon them. But God can break it off of us, and we want to believe that for them. And so when we're fasting and praying, we're believing that that will happen for them. How much greater will it happen to us? This is the promise. The Spirit of the Lord is on you. He's anointed you for these things. And the spirit of heaviness tries to place on every Christian rejection, sorrow, mourning, self-pity. All these things try to come on us. Depression, despair, loneliness, hopelessness, gluttony, insomnia. Fasting can empower us to bind and cast the spirit of heaviness to loose the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and the garment of praise and the oil of joy. Woo! I hope that was helpful to you today. Was to me. I got to remind myself of these things. Lord, humble us through this fast and prayer. Lord, as we pray and desire to humble ourselves, that you will guide us in this path so that you break these bondages, break these strongholds, that the natural things have a hold of our life. We want you to control every part of our life. We thank you, God, and we pray for Israel today, that, Lord, they too would break in this hour for your purposes. In the name of Yeshua, amen, amen. Well, thanks for joining us today here on our daily podcast. As we're sharing right now, we're in the middle of the fast, the Isaiah 62 fast. You can find that website, isaiah62fast.com. You can also go to our website, christiancentershreveport.com. Scroll down, there's an Isaiah 62 fast button there, and you can learn more about it, and you can help participate with us as we pray. We'll continue to pray for our nations as well during this time, but this is a special time we've set aside to pray for God's purposes in the land. Well, God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow. What an amazing testimony. I've had these things happen to me before. May they happen to you as well. Well, we went a little bit longer today. I hope you enjoyed that. Shabbat Shalom. Also remember, next week we start our Isaiah 62 fast. And we're going to be praying for Israel for 21 days at the noon hour Central Time here in America. So if you want to join us online, we'll be there praying 1 hour each day for 21 days. Okay. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Well, I apologize for being a little bit long, but it's worth it. I really don't apologize. What a great testimony. Well, Shabbat Shalom to you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week on our podcast. See you later. Bye-bye.